Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parenting Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with...
Arthur, can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Yeah.
And can you say Rob Beckett?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
There we go, that's a good one. Oh, fuck, I wasn't recording, Michael, is that all right?
Oh, you've changed since we've gone to Spotify. You're so slick now. It's like working with a different man.
What, Michael?
No, you!
I wasn't recording.
I'm joking.
All right,
no,
sorry, yeah.
Oh, fuck it now.
I'm knackered.
What's going on? Why are you tired? Kids keeping you up?
Not really.
Working too much? Loads of shagging? What's up? What's going on?
Loads of shagging.
Just too much going out and shagging, is it?
Let's just say this before we move on. This is Martha, who is 17 months old. We live in Teddington, along with her one-month-old brother, Theo. Special shout-out to my wife, Molly, who's been a superstar throughout it all. I'm working my way through the back catalogue and on to season 4 now. I've got no idea how many seasons we've done.
No?
It just seems to just be one long season to me. I hope you continue to be so very relatable. Cheers, Morgan. There we go.
Yeah. So this week I got the private jet to my gig and it was late, Josh. It was
I've got the school quiz this week, Rob.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, you're hosting?
I'm hosting and writing the quiz.
How do you feel about it?
A bit nervous.
That's not like you.
I was just out of my comfort zone because it's not very funny. It's a quiz. And you're like, am I trying to be making this funny or am I trying to just do a quiz? Do you know what I mean?
Right, so I say with a quiz, you write the questions straight.
Yeah.
Don't put any jokes in there, really. You could do a couple of, like, wacky ones, but I think sometimes that's a bit eggy.
No one wants you fucking around with a quiz.
No.
They come out for the quiz, not for me going, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Keep the quiz the quiz. However, when you're doing answers, joking about the team names,
people will
be chipping. You've got the skills to give them a bit of crap.
Yeah, the team names is a good area. I've forgotten about the team names.
Yeah, exactly. So I think team names, I think you'd be fine. So where is it? In the school?
No, it's at a pub.
It's at the pub. And how many people are coming?
Don't know. Oh.
Have you sorted out the mic, the PA?
There's a mic.
Who's sorting that out?
The PTA.
Oh.
What?
I just think, you know, with the PTA, the Parent Teachers Association, what I'd say is there's a lot of people in there. I'm in a group. There's a lot of voices. There's a lot of opinions.
No. It's just one woman I'm dealing with.
There'll be different people when you're there. Can I predict what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You've this lovely lady that's booked...
It's not going to happen. It's been a very professional experience from start to finish.
Yeah, of course. However, you'll be the person who's actually in charge, who's been dealing with you, when you get there. Hi, it's Sarah. I'm part of the PTA. Okay, you don't know who she is. This woman's just come up to you.
Right.
Well, we normally do that after the first question.
Have you had a bad experience with the PTA, Rob?
Oh, hang on. Hello, I'm... Hello, Stephen here from the PTA. Yeah, so when are you... What time is it starting, Josh?
8.
Oh, hello there. It's Claire from the PTA. We need to finish at 10 because a lot of people need to get the last train home. Oh, hi there. It's Paul from the PTA. Have you got the prizes? Oh, hi there. It's just...
Have you had a bad experience, Rob?
Just so.
Have you had a bad experience?
I haven't had a bad experience.
Have you had a bad experience?
However, no.
Absolutely
fine.
Okay.
It's difficult, isn't it, to do this podcast and still go to school.
Yeah, of course. So you haven't had a bad experience. Hypothetically, this could be an experience you'd had.
All I'd say is, with any association, comms is always a problem.
Right, okay, yeah, good.
In any volunteer-based association...
Or non-volunteer-based. Look at the problem Elon Musk is currently dealing with.
Exactly. I'm just saying, when it comes to the PTA, there's a lot of people giving up their time to help, and there's a lot of people that have opinions on how it should or should not be done.
Well, I'll let you know how it goes. Do you want some questions?
Yes, give me a quiz question.
Okay, oh, I've got them written in a book. Shall I go and grab the book?
Have you written it out on paper?
Yeah, because I was in a cafe.
God.
Do you remember when I had my 2 hours in the cafe?
You took a little notebook.
I had a book and I was like...
Can I get your little book?
And I was like, this is an ideal chance to get this quiz knocked out.
Right, okay, so you've rushed it out in 2 hours.
No, I haven't finished it. What was Take That's first number one?
Never forget.
Well, you did. Am I right?
Oh, God, that's good.
See, that's the kind of stuff. That's the kind of stuff I'll be throwing out there.
That's the stuff.
Yeah. Pray.
Pray. Oh, yeah. Pray. Yeah, I remember that. That's exciting, Josh. Are you excited about it?
Yeah, I am excited, yeah. Oh, I should say another thing, Rob, on the school.
Yeah, go on.
Did I tell you about our parents' evening?
No, how did it go?
So it went well. It was a successful parents' evening. I'm pleased.
Yeah, is she great?
Oh, they said they'd never seen anything like it. No, they didn't.
That could be taken in both ways.
They said she's so good they like to remove her from the school. But I don't...
Yeah, we can't deal with a brain like this.
Yeah, we can't.
Let's get rid of her.
Yeah. But we had to sit on the small chairs.
Oh, that's a power play.
No, so did the teacher.
Really? Was that for everyone or just for you? Because they saw you coming in.
So we went into the classroom. She was like, take a seat. And the seat was like, it was like a hobbit house. Quite enjoyed it. But anyway.
Did you like it? It feels fun, doesn't it, on the little chairs?
I felt like we had 20 minutes and I felt like we didn't have enough.
20 minutes is a long time.
Yeah.
But you felt you could have done longer?
No. I felt like... We've done some interviews on here, Rob, where you're watching the clock.
Oh, so you were a bit bored at 20?
No, I wasn't a bit bored. That's not what I said.
Okay.
I'm saying I didn't bring enough stuff to discuss.
Yeah, when they go, any more questions? And you sort of like...
Yeah, I'm like, oh, shit. I haven't got any more questions.
So did you ask any questions?
Rose has lots of questions. I'll be honest, I was a bit of a passenger.
Okay, that's... But she's fine. She's getting on all right, your daughter.
All good, all good, all good. All good.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, well done. Right, do you want a bit of correspondence before we bring on our guest?
Two pieces, please.
Here we go. Daylight saving / more tired than Josh feature.
Yeah.
You're not actually that tired anymore, but this is the...
No, I'm fine at the moment.
Here we go. Last October, our baby was 7 months old and sleeping so badly that my partner and I were doing 1 hour shifts at night.
Fuck that. Sorry.
There had been times when I had to do double shifts because my husband had slipped through his alarm. I think 1 hour's too short. What's the point? 1 hour's not enough, is it? But anyway, they're doing 1 hour shifts.
Yeah.
Each to their own. There had been times when I had to do double shifts because my husband had slept through his alarm. So it's fair to say that he'd had one or two bollockins. One night I came down to start my shift and my husband went to bed, falling asleep immediately as his head hit the pillow. Minutes later, I hear an alarm go off and my husband, who was conscious not to sleep through another alarm, sluggishly came downstairs, ready to start his shift. He enters the room and says, "That was the shortest hour of my life." He breathed a sigh of relief when I explained the clocks had gone back and he'd only been upstairs for 5 minutes. God, an hour shift. That is insane.
Hour shift.
At least 3 hours. There's no point, is there?
You've got to.
By the time you've got to sleep, you're up again.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, Roisin and Rich in Dorset. Parenting fail. Hi, Rob and Josh. I thought you'd possibly appreciate a top parenting fail that happened to me. I was trying to explain the flu vaccine, the one up the nose. Have your daughter had this yet, where they spray flu vaccine up their nose at school?
Yeah, I think she has. She definitely had a flu vaccine, yeah.
Yeah, but it's a nasal spray up the nose.
Right, okay, yeah.
Anyway, so I was trying to explain it to my nearly three-year-old, so I showed him roughly how it would happen and made a psst noise, as if the little psst up the nose. However, this has translated to him running around telling anyone that will listen that I made him get piss up his nose.
Oh, my God.
Crying, "I don't want piss up my nose, Mummy. Don't make me." And telling his friend, "Mummy made me go to a lady who pissed up my nose."
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's Rachel. Psst.
Yeah.
Psst. Oh, Josh, I need to tell you, I'm recording this from Tom Allen's house.
Oh, yeah.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Has Lou finally made the big decision and left you?
Do you know what? If she did and I moved in here, I'd love it. Yeah. It's so nice.
Yeah, I don't know if Tom would.
It's so quiet.
Yeah.
And it's so clean and it smells wonderful, Josh.
Yeah, I bet it does.
And, like, you know when sometimes you go around, like, a friend's house?
Yeah.
And especially, like, a workmate. You know, we do the same job, essentially, me and Tom. And I'm looking around his house, I'm like, his house is so much nicer than mine.
Yeah.
And you know when you work with someone, you're sort of at the same level as them at a job, you sort of start thinking about, what's he earning then? What am I earning? You know that?
I was like, yeah, but he just hasn't got kids, right?
Exactly.
He's got nothing to spend his money on.
His house is so much better than mine. And I'm like, why is it better? I'm like, because he hasn't got children costing him money.
Yeah.
I've seen the other side of it here. It's nicer.
You could have, what, I don't know, like... a lovely occasional table. But instead, Rob, you've got a subscription to Disney Plus.
Do you know what? It's the smell more than anything.
Will you just get some fucking scented candles, Rob?
No, it's no. A scented candles will not do enough for what my children produce in our house.
Right. What do they smell of?
Well, we've got a dog, we've got a cat, there's always someone having a shit. Yeah. There's always someone cooking something, something's getting spilled, something's getting cleaned up. You know what it's like with kids.
Tom's life sounds sterile, Rob. It sounds sterile and boring.
It's not. It's great. It's so calming.
No, I know. Who was I trying to convince that? I didn't believe it as I said it.
Anyway, he's got a lovely house, so he's very nice. He let me use his back room.
Yes.
Sorry. Oh, a bit of fun. She's using your back room, Tom. Is that okay?
Did you both have a big laugh about that when he said that?
Oh, yeah. Great laugh. Yeah. Good old laugh. Yeah. And then he'd done a funnier version of it to me, and I laughed at that more. Yeah. Basically, because that's a very funny man.
Yeah.
Josh, should we bring on our guest?
Yes. Oh.
Yeah.
Trigger warning. Not really a trigger warning. It's the opposite. Email warning.
Okay.
We talk about something that our guest's child said as a three-year-old. We won't ruin it, but we'd love your emails if you've experienced similar things.
Yes, with a child confessing to a previous life. That's enough, isn't it?
Oh, well, it's ruined it. Okay.
Well, maybe that's a tease.
Yeah, that's a tease. Has your child confessed to having a previous life? Yes.
Yeah, but don't just say yes or no. Give us the details.
Yeah.
Has your child been reincarnated?
Yes,
let us know.
Yeah.
Here's Dan Schreiber, very funny man, one of the QIVE's research elves, No Such Thing as a Fish podcast, and he's got a brilliant book out, and he's a very funny man, dad of three. Enjoy. Welcome to the podcast, Dan Schreiber.
Hello. Thanks for having me, guys.
We are very excited to have you, Dan. Well, I've not seen you for ages. We gigged together years ago, and then you've gone on to massive success with No Such Thing as a Fish podcast. Do you still do stand-up, Dan?
No, I haven't done it. I do it as part of the podcast, because we do live shows, and we have a first half, so I sort of put a bit together for that.
Yeah.
But you and I, we were actually flatmates in Edinburgh many years ago for about a week period. It was like a week.
Which one was that?
Could I just say, I've never been more pleased the cameras are on, because Beckett's confused face at that point is blowing my mind.
How do I not know you as my flatmate? Fuck. Was it at Hills J Goes Flat?
No. I was staying with Eric Lampert and Rhys James and Lloyd Griffiths, and you came and you just crashed on our floor for a week.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah, so...
Do you?
I do now, but basically Lloyd was up there staying with you and Rhys, but I remember I just slept on Lloyd's floor for 5 nights, but I was pissed for 5 days because I didn't do a gig. I just came up on a jolly. And I remember now seeing you sort of in the kitchen. Did I give you any money for that?
No, I don't think so. No. And there's always been a mystery about this house. I remember coming home one day. I think this was in the period when you were staying with us where I went to the bathroom, and up by the bathroom, there was a sort of like hand towel bit just by the sink where you could, you know, wipe your hands. I was looking at it one day and it was just smeared in shit. Like just like flat out someone had wiped their ass on it, but then just put it back.
I blame Lloyd.
That is unbelievable.
Sorry, I need to apologise because...
Well, because of the towel?
No, so I think the problem me and Lloyd had in the world of comedy was we're not geezers in our world of Grimsby and South East London. We're the lovey-dovey. So we sort of assume that we aren't being that badly behaved, but then I think actually we were awful.
Well, I'm sorry, but if in Grimsby wiping your ass on a towel and putting it back is the lovey-dovey world... Then...
No, they saved the towel for best in Grimsby. Anyway, Dan, it's great to see you again after sharing
you
a flat
too.
That I forgot about for 5 nights. Is it flatmates if it's 5 nights, though?
I think so. Yeah. Well, if I meet someone, I tend to say they're friends. Like, Josh, I've only bumped into you twice, and I'll say, my friend Josh. Like, I just... I just do that.
Why not? The fact you know you've bumped into me twice... You've got an encyclopedic knowledge of when you met people. Rob did sleep on your floor for 5 days, so you should know that.
So, Dan, can you introduce us to your... How many children have you got? Let's get this out first and foremost before we crack on.
I have 3 kids, and I heard my third kid 12 days ago.
Oh, no! Yeah. My word.
I'm fresh. Yeah, third time. It doesn't get any easier. I've worked out.
No, who knew?
Yeah.
That's good to know, because when you've got two, you sort of think, well, we're so good at it now. What's another one?
Yeah. All the stuff that I forgot has just come back. The sleepless nights that I thought, God, were they this bad last time? And I spoke to a friend and they said, yeah, you were this out of it the other time as well.
Oh, my God.
It just doesn't get easier. But now you've got 2 little ones to deal with as well at the same time. And their sleeping patterns. And so I've got a 5-year-old, a 2.5-year-old, and then now a 12-day-old.
Fuck.
So talk me through the last 12 hours of your life from 11 p.m. last night to now.
You sure there's not just shit on your towel and you're thinking it's from the flat?
Okay, so the first thing I forgot happens is that you dread the night in a way where the lack of sleep becomes so great that when you first wake up for the first feed and it's something like 2 a.m., you kind of go, thank God it's 2 a.m. At least we're a bit into the evening. Last night was the horror of waking up and discovering it was 10:30 p.m. and already feeling knackered and being like, fuck. And so, yeah, it was a long one last night. And then we've got two kids who still come into our bed all the time. Mm. And so we're dealing with this kind of jigsaw piece of how do we, because we have Kit, my new son, in the bed next to us.
New son.
My latest son.
My new one. My new EP. My new drop.
Is it right you're promoting him on this, yeah?
That's what you're plugging. I've got this new son, Kit, yeah? He's available to be babysat at any time.
So, I mean, the reason we tried for a third kid is because we wanted a little girl. We thought that'd be really nice. And so,
oh, that's good for him to hear in a few years, isn't it?
Yeah, I hope he comes back to these shows and understands how loved he is. It's quite funny, actually, because we went and we got a private scan to see if it was a boy or a girl. And we hadn't told the person doing the scan that we'd had kids before. And so she did this big thing where it was a big reveal with, like, lights. The whole room went blue.
Oh,
and
she was cool. Like,
I know. It was like a real kind of, like, 4D experience. Yeah. But she went, it's a boy! And both me and Fenella just went, oh, fuck. And we were just... She was, so confused.
Are you going to go for a fourth then? Continue the hunt for...
No!
Well...
God, no!
Give it a couple of years.
Chase it down.
I know, because we'll forget. You're right. We will forget and then just go again and then have another boy.
This episode is brought to you by O2.
Yeah, but you're so positive and relaxed, Dan. Because, like, we've met, obviously, we were flatmates, but...
Obviously, we're flatmates. Obviously, that goes without saying. That goes without saying that we were flatmates.
Get out of there, we're flatmates. The old shit smear sisters, you know, me, Beckett and Shriver.
Old Shrez, Beckett and Shriver.
Back on the sofa again. But whenever I come away from gigging with you, I'm like, I feel happier now because I've been in the company of Dan Shriver. So how are you still this jolly with a 12-day-old son?
I guess that's just my way of being, really. I'm fairly happy. I really related when I've been reading and listening in the sort of like, I'll listen to a chapter and then go back and read bits of your book, Parenting Hell. And there's so much I relate to, particularly the chapters with both your wives talking about the relationship that you guys have with your kids versus the relationship within the family household. It's exactly the same thing.
That makes me worried for you, Dan.
Yeah, well... But I know where you're at, so I'm there. That's the same. We're all in the shit.
So let's rejoin you. It's 10:30 p.m.
Yeah.
You've just woken up for the first time.
Yeah.
How long did it take to get back to sleep?
So first was because we're bottle feeding my son because we had the most chaotic of mastitis cases my wife had in our first child.
Oh, that's brutal mastitis.
Yeah, man. Like, she has it to a level where doctors are like, I've never heard it this bad whenever we talk about it in midwives. It ended up in surgery.
Oh.
She had an abscess that formed in her breast. Oh. Had to be taken out. It was horrific.
Can I do a quick ignorant bloke thing here? What's mastitis? Yeah. Is that something to do with the nipple in breastfeeding?
Yeah.
Right.
It's the milk ducts, they get clogged up. And it's breastfeeding generally, and it can happen with multiple things. But yeah, it's when breastfeeding turns into a nightmare, and a lot of women suffer from it.
That's a great Channel 5 show, isn't it, when breastfeeding turns into a nightmare? Absolutely.
Yeah, so we bottle feed now. So the first thing at 10:30 is the negotiation, who's doing the feed to begin with. And that's a quick negotiation because I lose. I have to do it. Actually, Fenella will do the sort of like 2 a.m. and the 4 a.m. ones.
Yeah.
The real hardcore ones. So I shouldn't complain about that.
That is the hardcore session, that, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they really are as well.
Those 10 p.m., 6 a.m. pussy slots that you're strolling around in tribes. Sorry, pussy slots sounded disgusting. Is this the kind of stuff you do on No Such Things as Fish with the QI guys?
Yeah, this is yeah. Can't wait to get you on. But no, I mean, that's kind of what it is, right? There's not much story to tell. You just get up, you feed, and you get back into bed. Yeah. And he's really kind of the burping. I thought two kids now, I'd nailed how to do that. But it's just, they've each got their own ways.
Fuck burping.
Yeah, man.
It's impossible. Yeah. I just don't believe it's possible. And anyone that can do it is just, they were just going to burp anyway. You've just fluked it. I just don't believe
it. So you think it's a lie?
I think it's a lie.
Really?
Winding's a lie.
Yeah, this is my moon landings. This is the hill I'm going to die on. I just can't do it. Can you do it?
No, Rob? I sort of, they all looked uncomfortable. So you sort of like lean them on your hand and then rub their back. And I sort of agreed. I was like, I more did it to show Lou that I was trying.
Yeah, exactly.
But as I was doing it, I was like, this I've never had to do that as an adult to burp.
No.
And they're just little adults, aren't they? No. To a point.
Yeah. Okay. To a point. Every child's a little adult, right?
Do you find though, Dan, because obviously it's your third, like when you say it's quite, obviously it's labour intensive getting up in the night and you're tired, but it's quite easy. But then do you think that's just because you're not psychologically worrying about it because you're more relaxed because you've had two already?
Yeah, I'm way more relaxed this time. The first two, I was convinced that he would stop breathing in the middle of the night. So I found it impossible to go asleep. Yeah. Would have to check him every 2 seconds. I've lost that bit to an extent now, but I'm definitely a nervous dad. I think mainly because I'm just really shit in life. That idea that we're looking after a tiny little vulnerable child. And he came 3 weeks early, this one, so he's tiny. Oh. My whole thing is once they get to that size where they feel unbreakable, then you can relax a bit. But when they're still floppy, it's just nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I like a baby, sort of tiger loaf size. You know that tiger bread? Yeah, sort of like along the arm rather than like a little sort of floppy, underbaked, tiny French dick.
I like exactly.
Sort of quite bulky and solid. Then I can relax a bit more.
Yeah, agreed.
So when we booked you on this podcast, you thought you were going to be talking about having two kids?
No, we knew we had a C-section coming up.
Oh, sorry, but you had it 3 weeks early?
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
And we had an emergency C-section and we had a planned C-section. And our planned C-section was one of the most chilled out things I've ever been involved in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's awesome, isn't it?
I don't think they should have passed the bong around. I thought that was it.
So the first kid I had, Wilf, he was born in 2017, and we were in Tunbridge Wells, because that's where my wife's family lives out in East Sussex. And so,
Royal Tunbridge Wells, they'll make you say, the in-laws.
Royal Tunbridge Wells, right.
The in-laws won't let you get away with that. It's royal. They're very proud of that down there.
Yeah, it's a cool hospital, by the way. You get your own room after you have the baby, which is amazing. Ooh. So you get to hang out in there. But yeah, it was like they said to us, bring your own music. You can play your own choice of music. And they asked me to bring it on a CD.
No.
I mean, it was 2017. CDs were gone at this point. And so I had the stress the night before my son was arriving of sitting with my father-in-law trying to find CD burning software that we could put songs onto. It was an absolute nightmare. He then snuck on like 3 8-minute long Bob Dylan songs without telling me. So we're sort of like hoping to nicely time the birth to one of our favorite songs, and suddenly Dylan comes on with Hurricane or whatever, some long ass song that he's got. So this time round we did the same thing. I spent the whole evening burning another CD, picking out the songs we want. I got in there, handed them the CD, and they're like, what's this? What do you think? We're medieval here? Why do you think we get to see? Like, mate, 5 years ago you were. What? Don't give me shit. And it was Bluetooth instead. And so I DJ'd while we were going. It was really nice. Because we only picked 4 songs and it took way longer. So I was going through Spotify just picking new songs as we were.
Amazing.
Yeah. It was wicked.
What song was it when the baby came out?
It was one of Finella's choices.
It was an advert. He hadn't paid the full subscription.
Yeah, Lisa Mattresses. It was a what was it? It was Cinematic Orchestra, I think they're called. Build a Home. Yeah,
I don't know. We'll play it in because we're now. I should say Spotify is a great app. We should add that.
Yeah, you've moved. Yes, congrats.
I humbly back your choice to do that on Spotify. I think it was the correct decision, Dan. Wouldn't you agree, Rob?
Absolutely. So, what I was going to ask is because you've gone early again for your third kid. Your older ones aren't in school yet, are they? So are they in nursery, or have you got childcare during the day? Or is Finella off work, or is she not working? What's the setup? How busy are you?
No, yeah. So, no, Wilf is in infant school.
Yeah, okay.
So he's in primary. Yeah. And Ted is in a nursery, our second kid.
Oh, that's good.
So they're at school right now. Perfect. Which is great. Yeah, that works out.
And people will be wondering about your accent. So where were you brought up, Dan?
I was born in Hong Kong.
You were born in Hong Kong.
And
yeah, I thought I was getting a bit of a Hong Kong from that accent.
Was that where you were?
Yeah. Another Hong Kong guy.
And then I was there till 13, and then I was in Sydney. So there's a bit of Aussie in there until I got here when I was 19. Yeah.
And so how different is the schooling now, sending your child to school in the UK?
I'll be honest with you, Dan, I thought it was American.
Yeah, most people do.
Oh, yeah, they do.
And
yeah.
I've lived with you.
believe it never came up while you were sharing a house all that time.
And you can speak Mandarin. Proficient, Wikipedia reckons.
No, I used to be able to speak it really well. It's gone.
But you could have just said you are, and no one would check on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. 对,我可以说中文. There we go.
Yeah, you have let it go a bit, to be fair. Bit rusty. Bit rusty. Never mind, mate. Don't let it get you down. So, where are you in London now, then?
Yeah, southeast. I'm in Sydenham.
Oh, just round the corner,
then. Of course you are.
Bromley.
Every
Bromley.
Comic southeast except me.
Yeah, Bromley boys. I've got three Bromley boys.
You've got the big Sainsbury's there?
Yeah. Where are you? You're southeast?
I'm Bromley.
Oh, cool. Nice.
We're well close. We should have a play date, Dan. Seeing, you know, old flatmates catching up.
That'd be awesome, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Josh, you're going to have to...
Neither of you live in London. Let's just get that very clear now.
Josh, you're going to have to accept you're going to have to move out of East London to enjoy your children.
How did your postcode start, Dan? What two letters?
SE.
Oh, here he is.
SE. Oh, you're in London. What about yours, Rob?
BR, Bromley.
BR, yeah, because you're not in London. Bromley.
Yeah, the London Borough of Bromley.
Oh, no.
So your kids' childhood's going to be way more simple than yours.
Yeah.
And so do you think, did you enjoy moving around when you was that age, or did you find it, like, quite stressful, or did you just, was it just normal?
Well, Hong Kong, I mean, it was only two moves, which it's not that big, but Hong Kong was a weird place to live because you had every culture smashed together. And I kind of look back, now that I'm a dad, I kind of look back on how was I influenced not so much by the place I was growing up, but by my parents themselves. Because I think I'm definitely more a product of my parents than I was the places I grew up in. And I keep looking at my kids and thinking, how am I influencing them to be? Like, what's the thing that's going to stick that makes them turn into whatever they do in life? Because you try and manufacture it to an extent. Like, all the toys.
Such a stiff neck. You're like me. Yeah. We're nerds. We're trying to influence our kids. Rob couldn't give a fucking shit. Let him run free.
No, I just, to be honest, I think the less I have of me is probably for the best. Let them find their own little journey. But, Dad, as well, your parents, both celebrity hairdressers.
Yeah.
What?
The least stiff neck job ever.
What?
Accidental celebrity. They met in Hong Kong as hairdressers. So my dad was from Australia. My mum was from England. Yeah. They got together there and they opened up a salon. And there weren't really any Western salons there at the time in the late 70s, early 80s. And then Madonna exploded into Asia and everyone wanted Western haircuts. Why? And they were basically the only Western salon there. So yeah, they started, anyone who came in, like my mum would do Madonna's hair, or President George Bush Sr. came in, she would do like his hair and
let's stick with Madonna. That's the better end of the anecdote there, Dad.
Yeah.
Well, it depends what haircut Bush had. If he had a Madonna haircut, then that's the better anecdote.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at your head. Duck down, Dan.
My hair's chaotic. It's like I've rebelled.
Oh, yeah. It's good, though, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you meet Madonna?
No, I never did. I remember meeting Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
If I had to guess the name.
That's the memory I have, that one.
What was she like?
Well, actually, I was more interested in meeting her bodyguard, because the movie The Bodyguard had just come out at the time.
Oh, right.
And so she had this huge bodyguard with her, and my dad was like, he's a bodyguard, and I don't know, I kind of just didn't pay attention to her.
Are you sure you're straight, Dave?
I know.
Because if when I was a 13-year-old boy living in Hong Kong and Anna Nicole Smith turned up, I don't think I'd be looking at her bodyguard.
Buff boy bodyguard, yeah.
Raging hormone teenage boy. Here comes Anna Nicole Smith, the Playboy bunny. Who's that big fella behind her? He looks nice.
Meanwhile, I'm in the UK dreaming of meeting Anna Nicole Smith, and not a sniff of meeting Anna Nicole Smith.
He just likes big burly blokes.
Yeah. Kenny G, that was another highlight.
Kenny G.
Yeah.
He had a long, kind of thin mullet, didn't he?
Did he? Yeah, he had longish hair down the back. Do you know Rob?
No.
He's the saxophonist.
That was a tough job for a barber, because from what I remember, there wasn't that much of it and he was making it last.
Yeah, Kenny G looks like a cockapoo, doesn't he?
He does.
I'd go to a dog groomer's before a hairdresser's for that.
And did you ever consider going into the family trade?
No, I gave my son his first haircut, Wilf, and I assumed that lifetime of growing up in salons would have just sort of osmosis come into me.
Yeah.
So gave him his first hair, butchered him, like properly. I had to Zoom my parents and go, what do I do? How do I fix this?
Oh, really?
yeah. Just absolute nightmare. So no, I've got no skills in the hairdressing world at all.
And are you passing on to them? Now, I have met some parents that are, they're academics and they're lovely people, but I was out with them and their daughter knew too much for a five-year-old already.
Right.
Now, you are a man of facts.
Yeah.
Your new book, The Theory of Everything Else, A Voyage into the World of the Weird, we will come to. But I first want to ask, are you someone who's kind of trying to pass on lots and lots of knowledge to your children? Or are you Rob?
I'm Rob.
Are you?
Yeah. All I'm trying to get into them is the culture of stuff that I like. So, for example, my son, we were watching the Tottenham Hotspurs match with Liverpool last night,
yeah.
And Wilf was looking at the uniform of Tottenham, and he said, is Andy Kaufman on that team? Now, Andy Kaufman, the surrealist comedian from...
Yeah, the comedian who Jim Carrey played.
Yeah, that Jim Carrey played. He said that because one of the toys, one of the first few toys that I bought for Wilf was from Andy Kaufman's WWF period,
wow.
Where he was fighting as a wrestler, and the toy is released where he's wearing blue shorts, white leggings, and a white top.
Oh.
And Wilf just assumed Andy Kaufman must be a... So that's what I'm passing on.
So you're trying to indoctrinate them into your tastes rather than your knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. I just keep buying them, like, they're toys. It's amazing. They're, like, literally mixing up Paw Patrol toys with Mork and Mindy toys. And
so they're into, like, 70s culture.
Yeah.
70s American sitcoms and Paw Patrol.
Basically 70s comedy, yeah.
I bought my daughter's load of wrestling figures, and they had one of Ric Flair, a Macho Man, and they called it Daddy and Romish. Macho Man's got quite a tan mid-80s.
Oh, that's awesome. I met Macho Man in Hong Kong. I interviewed him on radio when I was like 8.
No way.
Yeah.
More interested in his bodyguard?
I thought he was the bodyguard when you see him.
That's why he likes him.
Yeah.
Because, you work on QI. You're one of the QI elves. Are you still doing that?
No, not really. Because when the podcast started 8 years ago, that really took off. And I was always really bad at the QI questions. I always came up with a lot of dubious crap stuff.
That's what I'm saying. You're more of a loose neck in stiff neck clothing. You are, Dan.
Yeah.
I'd say. You ride with the stiff necks, but actually you're pretty loose. Celebrity hairdresser parents, yeah. Lived in Hong Kong, lived in Australia.
You're basically Nikki Clark, who you won't know who it is because you didn't even grow up over it.
Nikki Clark? No, I don't know.
That's not the kind of reference. He was our celebrity hairdresser when we were growing up.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
So you sort of stopped working as a researcher on QI when the podcast came out. Is that right?
Yeah, because that sort of, we very quickly got a lot of listeners and we very quickly turned it into a live show, and I just became obsessed with just trying to have as much fun with that as possible. So yeah, step back from that and a few other things. But I agree. I love being around the academic-y types, but I'm not really, I didn't even graduate high school, really. I went to a weird hippie Riddle Steiner school, which I found out recently is not hippie, but that doesn't matter. He was quite a racist. But
what school was it?
It's called Rudolf Steiner.
Yeah, it's quite out there, isn't it? Aren't they obsessed with the number 7?
Possibly. That would fit into it just as part of that kind of cosmic, interest and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
It's kind of like, do you know Montessori, Rob? Do you know those schools where they kind of focus on the creative?
Yeah, where basically the teachers can't be bothered to do a lesson plan.
There you go. Yeah. That was my upbringing. Yeah.
Just let them do that for a bit. They'll be all right.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I'm accidental Monty Story. But they just so happened to be sat in front of the football on a Sunday. They decided to watch that. That's fine. But your parents are a bit hippie-ish then.
Yeah, we moved into a very hippie area in Australia called Avalon, and I was always surrounded by people that were sort of like either conspiracy theorists or new age kind of people.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. Yeah, so Steiner was very much that.
And will your kids do that kind of thing? Or
this is what I'm trying to work out, because it's the other thing. You're trying to emulate your childhood to an extent and go, well, that worked for me. Will it work for them? So should I do that? But then it turns out private schools cost so much money that I don't know how I could afford to give them that kind of education. I'm going to try, though.
You thought about cutting hair?
Well, let's talk about your book. In attempt to get the money so that you can send them to a hippie school.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So your book, The Theory of Everything Else, which, I'll be honest, right, we get a lot of books sent to us, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
This one isn't going on my wall outside the house. And that is the biggest compliment I can pay.
Oh, wow.
They don't even bother sending most of the books to me. I'll have this one, though.
So you cover loads and loads of different, it says on the front, ideas, beliefs, claims and facts in quotation marks.
Yeah.
It says, Dan, you covered whether ghosts exist.
Oh, yeah.
Do they?
Well, do you believe in ghosts?
I don't know, Dan. I wouldn't want to stay in a haunted house overnight on my own.
Right.
He can't do hotels on his own. Never mind a haunted house.
I can't do hotels on my own. So
really?
He can't. He has to take a special pillow and he doesn't like it.
It's I've got a bad neck. That's not a ghost thing. So it's not that I believe in ghosts. It's that I'm not confident that they don't exist.
Yeah. Okay.
What about you, Rob?
I don't believe in ghosts, but I believe in sort of the universe. This sounds a bit wanky, but it's sort of the stuff going on in the universe. It's sort of like you think your ego likes to tell you you can have an impact on the world, but a lot of the time it's sort of slight fate and slight, you're a bit lucky with how the penny drops kind of thing. Mm. And sometimes weird things happen and it sort of links up and you want to put a label on it. So you'll call it like a ghost.
Synchronicity and stuff, right?
Yeah, that kind of
you're
stuff.
Into
yeah.
that. I loved, that's my favorite thing. When I was doing the book, synchronicity was my favorite. Anytime something feels like destiny has played a part,
yes.
even if you don't yeah. believe it, I read this story, which is in the book, which is that in 1981, Ronald Reagan, there was an assassination attempt on him. And so he came out of a hotel, someone shot at him, and his Secret Service guy quickly grabbed him and threw him into the back of a limo, and they drove out of there. And they worked out during the drive back to the White House that he'd been shot. So Jerry Parr, the Secret Service guy, went against all protocol, and he said, get him to a hospital now, which you shouldn't ever do with a president, a random hospital. They get him there. They find out that if they got there 5 minutes later, he would have died. So he managed to save the president's life, and he was sort of heralded as a hero, sort of big character. The only reason that Jerry Parr became a Secret Service agent in his life is because when he was a kid, he went to the cinema to see a movie called Code of the Secret Service, all about the Secret Service, and he fell in love with the lead character, thought it was incredible, and then became that later in life. The actor playing the role of the Secret Service agent was Ronald Reagan.
Oh, yes, please.
No.
So
there we go.
He saved himself. It's full circle.
Yeah, I love it.
He seeded it, and...
So that's what I'm into synchronicity. I didn't know what I was into.
And can I just say, and of course it's a story from Dan about a bodyguard. What is... what is this all about? This bodyguard obsession.
Exactly. It's all linking in, and I'll wipe my arse on that towel for a story in a podcast in 8 years' time at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah.
But that's what I sort of believe. I sort of, these weird things happen and people try to explain it by ghosts, cool. But that's a great one. I've got a good synchronicity story.
Oh, yeah.
We should probably talk about kids in a minute as well, but I'm quite enjoying this. Fuck it.
We're going to come back to whether ghosts exist as well, because I do need an answer on that.
Yeah, we'll do the ghost stuff next. When I was going to do my first ever gig, I applied to do a gig, and they went, yeah, literally did it on a Wednesday and up the creek. And I went, yeah, come down Sunday. And like replied on the Thursday, which never normally happens. Normally it's months and months for those sort of gigs.
Will Briggs isn't very good at replying.
No, exactly.
You can leave that in.
And when I asked him about it, he said he came back from Edinburgh and I was literally the last person that emailed him.
Oh, so you were the...
That's how I got the gig. On the top of his emails, by luck. Because I said, how did I get this gig? It's my first ever one. I went, to be honest, mate, I was busy. It was the first email. And I said, come down Sunday.
That's so good.
And anyway, so I nearly cancelled it because I wasn't ready for it. I'd never done a gig before. My first ever gig, and it's a massive club. And I was waiting to pick my brother up from the station. I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And the radio, a song come on the radio, Ask by the Smiths. And it's like, one of the lyrics is, shyness is nice, but shyness can stop you doing things in life you like to do.
Yeah.
That lyric. And I was like, yeah, actually, I want to do it, but I'm scared. So just do it. So I went and did the gig, and just before I went on, in the interval, they had, like, a playlist on. That song came on, and I heard that line.
Oh, my word.
This was, like, in 2009, not, like, a chart song.
It's not even one of their biggest hits.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be in their top five songs on Spotify, the best app.
And it's not a song that you put on a playlist for a night out.
No, exactly.
It's not, you know, yeah. So it was just, I was just like, bloody, and that's always sort of stuck with me, those little weird moments. And I think people try and label it, but maybe synchronicity is the right thing, whatever it is. But yeah, that's what I believe in. But ghosts, are they real or not, Dan?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they're real or not. It's the same thing with synchronicity. They're just fun, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've influenced the world.
Have you got a good ghost story in there, Dan?
Well, I've got a thing where it's the paranormal and the kind of the occult. I've got stuff in there.
Hit me up with that.
Mm. One of my favourite things is the Beatles, right?
Oh,
so Ringo Starr.
Yes, please. Here we go. Here we bloody go.
Ringo Starr. Do you know why Ringo Starr has such a unique drum beat?
No.
So he's known to have this thing where he's got the Ringo swing.
Yeah.
It's where his drum beat is just ever so slightly out of time. It's just like a millisecond lazier. So in studios, people like Dave Grohl will say, like, they'll yell out, like, give us more Ringo, which means get a bit looser with it and so on. So the reason that Ringo has such a weird, unique drum beat is because his grandmother performed multiple exorcisms on him as a child to get rid of his left-handedness and expel the devil out of him.
Oh, no.
So that is the only reason. So
how does that...
Yeah, so she was known as the Voodoo Queen of Liverpool.
Right.
That's what he called her. And she was obsessed with the idea that left-handedness meant you had the devil inside you. did the exorcisms on him as he started learning the drums. So he bought a right-handed kit and was drumming right-handed. But then when he moved out of home, he went back to being left-handed, but he kept a right-handed kit. So he drums backwards on a drum kit, right? And in order to drum to get to the toms, if you're leading with your right hand, that's a really easy way. But if you lead with your left, you have to go underneath. And that little underneath bit gives it that millisecond delay. That means the Beatles have their beat. That's what gave it to them.
Wow, that's amazing.
Exorcisms. Yeah, that's one that I like.
That's great. Do you know what? Fuck parenting. Let's just talk about the book. Give us some more. Give us some more.
Well, okay, actually.
I've got a couple more.
Sorry, go up.
I've got the Shane Warne one. Have you heard of the Shane Warne one? Have you seen his documentary? Because he's got incredibly strong wrists and massive hands, and it enables him to properly spin a ball, so he could really do that spin in cricket. And apparently he broke his legs when he was a two-year-old, so his dad built him like a little skateboard.
Oh, the wheelbarrow.
Yeah, like the wheelbarrow. And he used to pull himself along with his hands on this little skateboard to get around on this, because he couldn't walk and he was only two and wanted to play, and it built up these huge wrists that really were powerful when he was doing his cricket.
So cool. He was amazing. I saw a clip last night, about Freddie Flintoff when he was on Jonathan Ross's show, and he was talking about how ahead of one of England's matches, someone told a ghost story, and he got so petrified that he had to get into bed with one of the other players and spoon him all night because he was worried.
Do you know, I once stayed in a hotel that was so scary, if I had to share a room. Because it was just too scary.
Sounds like a Me Too story.
No, it was consensual, separate beds.
Do you know Dan Aykroyd? It comes from a family of ghost hunters, like actual ghost hunters.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, they used to do seances and all that sort of stuff. And so him writing...
So is that where Ghostbusters comes from?
Yeah, it comes from him not parodying it. It's him having total knowledge of it. And he claims that he once woke up in bed with a ghost sleeping next to him. And he thought, what do I do? I'm not sure. And so he spooned it and just stayed the night with the ghost, supposedly.
Wow, come on, Dan.
That's what he says. That's what Dan Aykroyd says. And check this out. I only discovered this the other day. It was too late to put in the book. I have a bunch of other ghost stuff in there. But yeah. Ghostbusters, you know Slimer?
Yeah, yeah.
That green famous ghost in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy who was designing it couldn't get it right, and it came to a deadline, and he needed to get it done perfectly. And he claims he did a lot of drugs and was trying to design it the night before it was handed in. And the ghost of John Belushi, who was one of the big American comics of Blues Brothers and so on, came to him and posed for him. And Slimer is based on the ghost of John Belushi.
Oh,
that is
God.
In Ghostbusters. It's mad. But listen, hey, on kids stuff.
Yeah, we'll just say that's the theory of everything else, which is out now, is it, Dan?
It's out now, and it is, I'll just say, it's one of those books where I just basically found stories like the ones we've been talking about that you can tell in the pub and the dinner table. It's got, all those stories that gives you goosebumps at the end of it.
That's a lot of bang for your buck.
Yeah, exactly.
How are you finding these stories? We will get back to parenting. Just last question.
Yeah.
How do you discover all this stuff?
I make them all up.
Yes, exactly.
It's all complete bollocks.
That's the thing. It's so hard to work out what's true and not true, because so much of it is just, like, there's a chapter where a guy worked out that we could talk to plants because he was the CIA's guy who did lie detection machines. Mm. So he was the first guy to do polygraph. And he attached a electrode to one of the leaves of a plant. And he started communicating with it because it started responding on the machine. Mm. And he thought, what the fuck is going on here? And he worked out that there was a kind of telekinesis connection between him and the plant world. And this was a huge boom in the 1970s where the reason everyone talks to plants now is basically because of this guy from the 1970s thinking that there was communication. But he thought we could start a police unit, like an elite unit who can catch murderers, because he had two pot plants in a room and he had six people lined up to come in the room, and only one person was going to go in and basically murder one of the plants. And then that person was not going to tell the others that they'd done it. So it was a sort of who did this. They all then came in a lineup, and the one remaining pot plant that was in the room picked out the murderer in a lineup using the polygraph. And he thought, fuck, we've got plants that can discover who the murderers are now. We should get this out to the police. We should start
That's
an elite force.
Incredible.
It's like all these kind of like... But then you read the story and you're like, where's the truth? I mean, there is no truth in it, right?
Yeah.
Because it's mad as shit. But it's informed the world and changed the way that we all are now with plants.
That's amazing.
But I don't know what to believe in these stories.
Dan, I love these stories, but how bored is your wife of them?
Oh my God, she hates them. She hates them. Yeah. But she's in the book because weird shit happens to her all the time. She's one of those people that as soon as someone comes up to her, they just tell her their weird story. Yeah. We had a plumber come over. This was during lockdown. And he came in, said hi, and Fenella showed him into the bathroom. And I went to the kitchen to make some tea. She came in 3 minutes later and went, "God, what an interesting guy." I was like, "Oh, yeah, how so?" She went, "Well, he was born in Kazakhstan. And apparently when he was a kid, he was sitting in a field and an eagle swooped down, picked him up and flew away with him."
What?
And I was like, "Hang on, you were with this guy for 3 minutes. How did you get this story?" And I asked him, and it was true, he said. He said his mum fortunately saw the eagle flying off with him, grabbed a big stick, and was able to beat the eagle down. And, like, a lot of people say that's not true, but a few years back, before this story, I did meet a guy who was a eagles who steal children expert, and I saw a file of his. So I know that it is a thing that happens. But wow. So she's actually more a magnet for the weird stuff. And one thing that I didn't put in the book, and I'll be curious to see if you guys had this with your kids, because I put this up on Twitter, and the response I had to it was thousands of replies from parents globally talking about a similar thing. So this is the tweet I put up. This was in August 19th, 2021. "Interesting bedtime chat with my 3-year-old tonight. Daddy, I had a family a long time ago, and my mummy was called Socky, and I was called Anki, but then I died, and now I'm with your family."
Oh, my God. Oh, God. I listened to a podcast about, like, a previous life thing.
Yeah.
And they had all the details and stuff, and it all checked out, and they were kids, and it was weird.
It was so weird, because I don't really necessarily believe in that kind of stuff.
I've not had that. It would freak me the fuck out.
We were so scared. He was asleep. We were just reading in bed, and he just sat up, and then he uttered that sentence, and I quickly got my phone out, and I've got a recording of the rest of the story of him just telling us, me interviewing him, God. And him explaining where he was, and...
Stressing me out.
Oh, my God.
I'm stressing. I'm biting me nails now. I'm panicking then.
I've sat on one foot.
You sat on one foot. He whipped the foot up under his bum. Oh. Well, maybe that's true. Maybe we do have other lives, and we're just a consciousness, and this body is just a vessel for a bit. Guys? No, I'm standing on my foot now as well.
So what did you do? Did you research it, Dan?
No, I recorded him, and...
Did you ask him to spell Socky? Because that could be spelled in a variety.
No, he started, when we were interviewing him, he started crying, like getting really emotional when he said, "I was left, I was abandoned, and I was alone." And it was really hard to work out where to push him in the conversation.
And he was three.
He's three. And so I put this up on Twitter, and honestly, thousands of replies. It still comes virtually every day, even though it's a couple of years old now. People saying, "I was in a taxi cab in New York with my son, and we were riding through, and he pointed out the window and said, 'I used to shop in that pet shop.' And it wasn't a pet shop, it was a delicatessen. But then the taxi driver went, 'Oh my God, that is insane. 10 years ago, there was a pet shop there.
Oh, fucking hell.
And it's not there anymore.'"
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I'm getting all itchy. I'm rubbing my nipples and I don't know why. I do that when I'm nervous or excited.
So you guys haven't had that with your kids yet? You haven't had the past life?
No, I don't want to have it with my kids. I'd be terrible. So I know you're going to offer a mealy-mouthed response to this, but do you believe it?
No, I don't. No.
Oh, you don't? You think it's all bullshit?
I don't know what it is. It tends to be... Someone who follows me did a chart of all the people that replied with stories and worked out that something like 80% were people who had three-year-olds. It was in that gap, in that vicinity.
We're through it, thank God, with one of them.
Yeah, you've passed it.
Yeah, just put a lid on it, keep it quiet, don't scratch the surface. That's what I say. It's always the best approach. So do you have a lot of followers that sort of, because obviously with the QI and then the podcast, are quite into facts? You said one of your followers like did a chart and analysed the data on that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got a few followers. I don't think any of them would do that.
Is that Josh who does that for you?
He does like a stat, to be fair.
Yeah.
I love a stat. That's really interesting. And so how did you deal with it with your kid?
Well,
did it come up again? Did you chase it down again?
Yeah, I did, because I was interested to see how the story would change days after, and it didn't. The name stayed the same. But then I think it then turned into a performance, because he is still a three-year-old. So
yeah.
You're suddenly like...
If he's getting attention for it.
Exactly.
He'll think, this is a fun story.
So we were out in, I think it was a Hastings area, and he pointed at a building and said, "Oh, that's where my old family was." And we're like, come off it, mate. We're done. We're done.
We're over this.
Fucking hell, change the record.
You had your moment.
Come off it, mate. Yeah. Imagine saying that to your kid.
Come off it, mate. Cut the shit. Dan, have you got any holidays booked with the newborn? Are you putting a line on the holidays until they're older?
No, we're going to go back to Australia in my brother's getting married next October, so that's the first biggie, I think.
So you'll be flying with a 6.5-year-old, a 3.5-year-old, and a 1-year-old.
Yeah, and the prices to get back to Australia. No one told me this about parenting, and I assume that everyone must have known it, but I didn't realize that once you become a parent and your kid goes to school, you now live in the most expensive bit of the world. You can only travel when you're going on school holidays, which is when everyone's traveling. Like, everything is at its peak cost in order to be someone now who exists in the world. And I didn't realize that.
And you've got to buy five seats.
To Australia.
Oh, and you're going to hate every moment of that journey. Like the journey, not once you're there.
Yeah. You don't really want to go back for that fucking wedding, let's be honest, Dan.
Since Zoom's arrived, I think we could get away with that.
Yeah, it's my brother. I can watch it. He don't care that much.
Yeah, we went back in March of this year. So we had Wilf and Ted. Ted was under 2, because that's another thing when, you know, you start paying for tickets when they turn 2. So it's a scramble just to get in as many as possible.
Yes, yeah. That last one when they're still on your lap. But then you've got a 23-month-old on your lap.
This is Boulder.
And they don't want to be there. They need a chair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. God, the first flight that we did was the first leg, because in COVID times as well, you can't really stop in the countries you'd usually stop in because of COVID restrictions in Australia. So we had to fly direct to Darwin, which was a 16-hour first leg flight. 16 hours. So even though the kids were amazing, the kids slept for 10 hours on the first leg. And there's another 6 hours.
Even if your kids are perfectly behaved, it's still awful.
Yeah, it's still chaos, yeah. And the fights that my wife and I ended up having, we get on really, really well, but like, we were pushed to a limit. And when we got off the plane, everyone was like, oh, the kids were so good. And we were like, were they really? And one guy just went, the parents were not. And apparently we were so chaotically yelling at each other. Just like, every time I sat down, Fidella needed just another thing.
Yeah. Sorry, why don't you tell me when I open the fucking thing?
Exactly. It's because it's a 16-hour flight. We bought like all these activities. I didn't use any of them. Oh, but like, you know, as a result, there was like 20 bags, 20 different things that I had to fucking navigate to find.
And that is definitely a dad job, isn't it? The bags.
It was honestly, it's the most stressful thing, and not for the kids.
Getting it out the top. Yeah. What we do is we get like a wheelie case and then we put their backpacks in the wheelie case because they never wear them. They'll never pull their own bags. We get like one wheelie case that I'll push along and we put their backpacks in that. So it's easy to get to. Because when you're trying to carry a kid's backpack in your hands, it's awful.
Yeah.
It's too many things.
Fenella bought these ones where they sit on them and they can ride them.
Trunkies.
Oh, yeah. But they don't sit on them and ride them.
With Ted, who was under 2, his legs didn't even reach the ground.
Oh, the worst.
I'm stuck with the trunkie with a 2-year-old who's crying or under 2 because he can't move. Oh, my God. Just a nightmare. Whoever invented the fucking trunkie.
Oh, mate. How long are you going to Australia for?
I don't know. A couple of weeks, I guess. Maybe 3 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's going to be interesting for, like, a jet lag as well with kids, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I have terrible jet lag, so that's fine. It means at least you're up in the evening.
Right,
and also
yeah.
It's I'm around family, so we can just give the kids, we'll stay in the house, and it's such a beautiful bit. Have you guys done Australia?
Yeah, I've been to, Rob's just about to go to Australia.
Yeah, in the next couple of weeks.
What are you doing? Are you touring?
Yep, I'm doing Perth, Adelaide, Brisbane, Canberra, Melbourne, Sydney, then Wellington, Auckland, Christchurch.
That's exciting.
I know, can't wait. So where are you from in Australia?
Sydney. Yeah, so in the northern beaches. We live right next to the beach where Home and Away is filmed. That's our local beach.
Oh, Summer Bay.
Summer Bay, yeah.
That's amazing.
Have your parents ever done the hair of any of the cast of Home and Away?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Are they still celebrity hairdressers or now they're just normal hairdressers?
No, they're now normal hairdressers. Yeah, the celebrity was in Hong Kong. Yeah. That's all done now.
They still have photos of Madonna on from like 40 years ago.
Yeah. Hey, can I quickly say, I've been listening, my wife and I, part of our 12 days of having our kid, every single night, we've been listening to the audiobook of Parenting Hell.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
It's honestly, we've been crying with laughter.
Oh, thank you.
It's absolutely amazing. I think it's one of the funniest books that I've read in years. Oh, and listen to,
you.
Get thanks, the audiobook. Oh, my God.
Well, thanks, Dan, for listening to it.
Yeah, thank you.
It's so good. Guys, it's so good. It's so good.
Oh, thank you.
Well, not as good as your one.
Thank you. I was hoping.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, this has been a book loving this. That's more or less brought us to the end.
We got the final question, though, Josh.
Final question.
Yeah.
What one thing does your wife do that annoys you that you haven't brought up, but were she to listen, this would be your way of telling her? And what one thing does she... How would you put this, Rob? I always don't know how to put the positive one.
what's something she does that's absolutely amazing as a parent that you forget to remind her about or tell her because you sort of take it for granted sometimes?
Yeah. So the first one is she really needs to stop throwing away my retro toys that I buy for the kids.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So just because Michelangelo from the original Ninja Turtles series is missing a leg doesn't mean he goes in the bin. It's a precious toy. Yeah. So yeah, she needs to hear that.
Yeah.
Can I suggest a storage lockup? We've just got a storage lockup and all my shit's gone in there.
Yeah.
The other day I went in to drop something off and I just sat on one of the chairs that was in there for an hour.
And
it was nice.
Oh, you mean you didn't even play with any toys or anything? You just, to get away?
No, I just sort of sat there in the dark pretending I was sorting out my little box.
And you just hung out in there like you're in solitary confinement?
Yeah.
Like you're Hannibal Lecter?
Yeah! In just a warehouse. A little room in a warehouse. It is a bit like prison. It was quite nice. It was a Sunday. It was really quiet. It sort of felt like the bleakest bachelor pad of all time. So what's the positive thing, Dan? What's the great thing about Fenella?
She's instilled empathy and kindness into my kids in a way that I don't think I ever could have imagined myself doing. I keep noticing how polite they are around people, which is not what I am. Like, I won't say the formal sort of thank yous and pleases and looking out for making sure that everyone feels like they've been served a drink. Like, she's so good at reminding them to look at the room around them and to make sure that everyone is included as part of the room with kindness.
Yeah.
Such an important thing to have kind kids. And I couldn't have put that into my kids because I'm just too busy just buying them toys. Whereas she's like, she's working on the core soul of them. And yeah, that's the thing that she needs to hear from me more, I would say.
Oh, that's lovely. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, mate.
Good luck with your book and the podcast. And thanks for coming on.
Thanks, man.
Cheers, Dan.
Thanks, guys.
Dan Schreiber. I love Dan Schreiber, Josh.
Yeah, I'm really excited about reading his book.
I think...
it's absolutely my thing.
He's one of the... like, whenever you get a gig with him, I sort of leave happier. He's so positive, and he's always got loads of facts. I reckon he'd be a great person on a stag do just to sort of bond the two separate groups. You know, sometimes on a stag do, there's like the friends from home, the work friends, the uni friends, just him in the middle.
Or he'd be the ideal person to live with and forget.
And wipe your arse with his towel.
Yeah, was that you?
Absolutely not. I'd rather go out of a shitty arse than wipe my arse on someone's towel.
There we go, that's the end of the episode. We'll be back on Tuesday.
I'll die on that hill. Dan Schreiber, buy his book and listen to his podcast. Really good guy and very funny bloke. And we'll see you on Tuesday. I'll see you on Tuesday, Josh.
See you on Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.